Evans with the NIRS News. More than 3,000 people gathered to celebrate Black excellence in music at the 2024 National Indigenous Music Awards on Larrakia Country in Darwin at the weekend. The major award, Artist of the Year, went to Queen of Hip Hop Barker, who also won Film Clip of the Year for We Up. Rap Collective 3% won Song of the Year for Our People, while Album of the Year went to Dan Sultan for Self-Titled.
10 years ago, I won this exact same award, and I said that the music industry exists in more places other than just Melbourne and just Sydney, and it's wonderful to see some representation from those places here tonight.
That was part of Dan Sultan's acceptance speech at the NEMAs. For the first time, Indigenous Language Preservation was recognised as a NEMA award, which was jointly won by Electric Fields and Rowan Mamaru. Community Clip of the Year went to Bullman School and Community for their clip Najara, and New Talent of the Year went to R&B artist Becca Hatch. 18 months on from a catastrophic flood, families in the WA town of Fitzroy Crossing are still experiencing significant trauma and chronic homelessness. A new UNICEF and Royal Fair West report has found many children are now living with post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, and a lack of access to basic housing. UNICEF's Nishad Rago says the report highlights the need for a better coordinated and community-led response to future disasters.
The flood inundated large parts of the region. It prevented access to food, medicine, healthcare, education. There is ongoing trauma, ongoing homelessness 18 months on, and many children and their families remain affected by some of the other gaps or disruptions in critical services.
400 people have been evacuated after a helicopter crashed into a roof of a Cairns hotel. The building was evacuated as a precaution just after 2 a.m. this morning. Members of the public are being warned to avoid the area. New training resources will help Australian dentists better identify patients suffering domestic and sexual violence. James Cook University has developed a program to help students and dentists make risk assessments. Senior lecturer in social work, Dr. Anne Carrington, told Nine Radio that dentists can provide help.
Dentists have access to being able to identify indicators that perhaps other professions don't. So given that dentists are so close to the head and neck region, where often there are physical indications of domestic or sexual violence, so they may see really subtle signs of strangulation, for example, or where somebody may have had their hair pulled.
A report by the state's Department of Health and Aged Care shows the current unmet demand for GPs is equivalent to a shortfall of 460 full-time doctors. And that number will surpass 1,000 by 2028. The shortfall is also blamed for a rise in serious emergency presentations. Health Minister Ryan Park told Nine Radio there needs to be more federal funding for general practice.
When you have just a 1% drop in bulk billing rates across a particular area, you see an extra 3,000 people coming into the emergency departments in that area. Now, that's not something that we can sustain. The pressure on our EDs at the moment is real.
We'll have more coming up next.
Hello, Natasha Short here, inviting you to join me for Money Talks. It's the latest series of conversations in partnership between Kibble Jigars and Warangari Media. It features interviews and advice on all things money. We all need it, but how do we best manage it? How do we protect and grow it to gain control of our finances and improve the lives of our family and communities, and a lot more. Join me for Money Talks on Warangari Media, Galari, Packham Network, and the National Indigenous Radio Service, bringing all us mob together around money.
To sport, and at the Paris Olympics in beach volleyball, Australia's duo Taliqua Clancy and Marie-Faye Atacho de Sola missed out on bronze on Saturday morning after losing to Switzerland 2-1. Brazil went on to grab gold and silver went to Canada. Meanwhile, in water polo, the Stingers got silver after failing to take out Spain in the battle for gold. And in basketball, the Opals took bronze with an 85-81 win over Belgium. To stay up to date with the NIRS news, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, or visit our website at nirs.org.au. And if you missed a bulletin, you can catch up on the Community Radio Plus app.
Screening for bowel cancer is simple, private, and free. Your free kit is available every 2 years from the age of 45 to 74. If found early, 90% of bowel cancers can be successfully treated. Doing your screening test every 2 years can help you to stay strong and healthy for yourself, your family, and your community. For more information, have a yarn with your health professional or visit indigenousbowelscreen.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Queensland's big build is all go. We're getting to work right across the state, which might mean some disruptions as we roll out a 10-year plan to build more hospitals and upgraded schools, more housing, better transport, and more renewable energy. With Queensland growing, now's the time to future-proof the lifestyle we all love. To find out more about big build projects on the go near you, search Queensland Big Build.
Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane. Station sponsor.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbaribrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, you mob, too deadly. All right, Bangarra commences search for new dancers in 2025. For your deadly mob out there, want to chuck your leg around, want to perform, want to be on stage? Well, Bangarra are looking to talk to you. We're going to catch up a yarn now with current Bangarra dancer and previous Russell Page graduate of 2020, and that's Kian Doyle. We have Kian on the line. Kian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you.
Good. Welcome
how
to
are
the
you?
I'm good, my brother. Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
So I grew up in the Blue Mountains, which is Darug and Gunungurra country, but my grandmother's country is Dungari, and she's from Kempsey.
All right, beautiful. Fantastic. Well, thank you for coming to the program. Bangarra, commencing search for new dancers in 2025. Are you affiliation with AIDT, Aboriginal Dance Theatre?
I went to NASA and and trained there. All of this kind of Bangarra and NASA all came from AIDT and
good.
From Carol Johnson coming to Australia and seeing that Indigenous First Nations of Australia and the Torres Straits didn't have a representation in the arts.
And so they should. We are artists, aren't we? In more ways than one, my brother.
Yeah.
Look, born too deadly. Born and bred, too deadly. So how would people audition for Bangarra when we're talking about you guys looking for and searching for new dancers 2025? How do people go about it?
So you send a video online and
is that part of your audition, is it, Kian?
Yeah, so it's part of audition. So you'll send in like your application, you'll fill it out, and then you send in like just a little like 3-minute video, and it can be any sort of like dancing, like technical, like ballet, contemporary, or it can be cultural as well.
Yes.
And stuff. And then they go through the list. And then you'll get shortlisted, and then they send you a personal invitation to come down to the actual audition within the space.
Okay.
And then usually we, you'll do like a little warm-up class, like a ballet, and then you'll learn some repertoire from one of the shows, and then you'll also learn a little bit of like cultural dance.
Yes.
And then they kind of just kind of watch, like...
Yeah.
Artistic director and the,
you do your thing, you perform. Don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so, too deadly. And are we talking, what ages are we talking, Kian?
I've had some friends that have auditioned when they were like still in high school. Usually they will be like, oh, maybe get some further education by going through NASA or ACPAR or something like that. Usually I think they try and get 18 and above,
yes.
Just because we travel so much and obviously, we just travel a lot of it.
Which is good.
Of the time.
Yeah. So. I know you do a lot of cultural stuff with traditional owners on land, on country, when you go to their country.
Yeah.
Yeah, which
is
fantastic.
A big honour.
Yes, yes, big honour.
Something that's very rare that you don't really get to see quite often.
Yep.
But yeah, it's beautiful. That's the part of the cultural cycle for the shows.
Mm-hmm.
So France, the Springs and all that, they'll go and talk to the elders and the community and the cultural consultants and see what they want to speak.
Yes.
And then they bring that to us dancers and we create a show and then show them what we've done. And then we'll to finish that season of that show, we'll take it back to the community.
Beautiful.
And kind of have like a last little, put on a feed for them and workshops and kind of give them like, here, like, thank you for giving us.
Kian, tell me, performing, becoming a dancer, it can become a rewarding career pathway, can't it?
Yes, especially through Bengara. It's just something different. And like I like to say, kind of like spark something in your belly.
Yeah. Good description.
Yeah, and like, because it is like, you know, thing with culture and, you know, beautiful First Nations stories and that, it kind of, you know, allows like the Western society to kind of step into what we've been doing since creation.
Creation, so. Of course. Fantastic. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, brother, how do people, they just send in their audition as such, video? A page? How do they do it? Email? Or get on the Bengara webpage?
Yeah, get on the Bengara site. So you just type in Bengara, and we have, like, our own little site, and you can find out, like, what's going on, and usually there'll be, like, a little link.
Yes.
And then it should tell you how, like, the next steps.
Good.
Through that.
Fantastic. So what ages? What's the youngest person can audition?
I think maybe like 17, 18.
Okay.
Is probably like the lowest they'll go.
Sure.
Just because it's just quite like a lot of travelling and all that. So
yeah, sure.
But up until like one of my mentors that I, when I was going through school, Patrick Thaiday.
Yep.
He's a Torres Strait man.
Mm-hmm.
He came in at like 30, so it's pretty much open.
17, 18, right through to ages 30.
Yeah,
yes.
Right till beautiful. Whenever, as long as you can shake a leg.
Yeah, there you go.
Represent. That's all
it sounds deadly, Kian. Look, thank you very much for the yarn. All the best. Break a leg, and big shout out to the Bengara mob, and keep doing what you do, my brother, and we'll talk soon, eh?
Yeah, cheers. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Right. You too. Bye.
Deadly Yarn there, Kian Doyle, his name is, current Bengara dancer and previous Russell Page graduate of 2020. And yes, Bengara and Bengara have opened up their doors in regarding to auditions for, they are searching for dancers for 2025. If you think this is a pathway, throw the hat in the arena, hat in the fire, have a look at it and just see where it takes you. If it's meant to be, it'll happen. Too deadly. Dance, dance, dance. Your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? And we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbleybit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and Yarn with the Bully on here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black.
Oh, well, let's get this in one.
Oh, we get it spot on.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Gather round people, I tell your story, an 8-year long story, power and pride, British Lord Festy, Vincent Lingari, were opposite men on opposite sides.
Festy was fat with money and muscle, beef was his business. Broad was his door. Vincent was lean, spoke very little. He had no bank balance. Hard dirt was his floor.
From little things, big things grow.
working, nothing but ration. Once they had gathered the wealth of the land, daily depression got tighter and tighter. Gurindji decided they must make a stand.
They picked up their swags, started off walking at Wadi Creek. They sat themselves down. Now it don't sound like much, but it sure got tongues talking back at the homestead and then in the town.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. Vesty man said, I double your wages, 7 quid a week you have in your hand. Vincent said, we're not talking about wages. We're sitting right here till we get our land.
Vesty man roared, Vesty man thundered, you don't stand a chance of a cinder in snow. Vincent said, if we fall, others arising.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. Then Vincent Lingyari, he boarded an airplane, landed in Sydney, big city of lights. Daily he went round, softly speaking his story to all kinds of men from all walks of life.
Vincent sat down with their big politicians. This affair, they told him, it's a matter of state. Let us sort it out. Why are people hungry? Vincent said, no thanks, we know how to wait.
From little things, big things grow. Then Vincent Lingyari returned in an airplane back to his country once more to sit down. He told his people, let the stars keep on turning. We have friends in the south, in the cities and towns.
Eight years went by, 8 long years of waiting, till one day a tall stranger appeared in the land. He came with lawyers, came with great ceremony, through Vincent's fingers, poured a handful of sand.
From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. That was the story of Vincent Lingyari. This is the story of something much more. Our power and privilege cannot move a people who know where they stand, and they stand in their law. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow.
Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
On your mom, it's me, Bush Taka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yidinji Country, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. Thank you for tuning in and add to the conversation. All right, in line with Tradies Health Month, we're talking the month of August, we've got Tradies Health Month. Now, regional tradies urge to prioritise eye health with reduced access to urgent care. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Orson Wu, who's an optometrist at Specsavers, and just talk about this important conversation. Orson's online. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based?
I'm based in Fairfield in Sydney. I work at Specsavers in the shopping centre there.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you for coming to the program. So, look, we are talking about Tradies Health Awareness Month. We're talking about urgent for our workers out there to prioritise their health and reduce access to urgent care. So can you tell us, would you have any numbers there, percentages, in regarding eye problems, eye accidents or eye injuries as such? And what's happening there? Are we talking about companies who are not doing their job, or the workers themselves being lackadaisy? Is there a lot of eye injuries happening?
Well, what we're finding is that over two-thirds of tradies have witnessed a eye injury happen on the job. And what's really happening is that a lot of tradies aren't using their proper eye protection, whether or not that's being enforced by their employers.
Okay.
And what's being found is that most tradies use sunglasses instead of proper safety glasses when they're working.
Okay. So who polices that, or is it the individual themselves?
I guess the mix of both, as okay. There are going to be practices in place to, or the management should have practices in place in order to ensure that tradies are doing the right thing. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's your own eyes that you're trying to watch out for. So It does come, some of the responsibility does come down to the individual to make sure that they are protecting their eyes.
Sure. Would you have percentages on the eye injuries?
Well, what we've found is that over two-thirds of tradies have witnessed one. We don't have exact numbers on the amount of eye injuries that there are, but the main thing is that a lot of these can be prevented by having the proper safety glasses and proper eye protection practices being followed.
Now, you are an optometrist. You're not a lawyer. Do you know how it works in that space? If there's eye injuries, can the individual take the company to court? But if they were only wearing sunglasses, does it fall back on them?
I cannot comment on that. Yeah. I am sorry. Sure. I'm not too sure. But ultimately, at the end of the day, as an optometrist, I'm mostly concerned with the long-term health outcomes for the individual that is at risk for injuries from high-speed impacts, because they can cause they can cause scarring on the eye, and they can cause school penetration of the eye itself, and that can lead to debilitating blindness or reduced vision in a lot of cases.
Well, we're not talking about, not concerned about the law side of things. I mean, like, yeah, you won the court case, but now you're blind. You know, it's about safety.
Yes, that's
it's
right.
About looking after yourself, isn't it?
That's right. So I guess the main takeaway message that I'm looking to ensure that traders understand is that protecting your eyes with safety glasses, with proper shielding on the sides of the glasses, can help to prevent those sorts of injuries from happening. And that safety glasses, they're made from specialty high impact resistant lenses
yes.
that are different from typical sunglasses or normal vision glasses in order to help protect against those sorts of injuries from happening.
And look, and it's great to have a platform like the Traders Health Awareness Month because then messages like this gets across the platform, doesn't it?
That's right. So we are trying to raise awareness for Traders Health Awareness Month in this month in August, making sure that traders understand what we're trying to do, what we're trying to achieve by protecting their eyes and making them more aware of what the long-term outcomes can be.
So the thought of prevention of eye injuries. Look, this is great. Thank you very much for your yarn. National program here, we are chatting. So this will go across the country. So we are supporting the Traders Health Awareness Month. And thank you for your yarn, Orson. You have a great day.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
See you.
A deadly yarn there. Orson Wu, his name is, optometrist at Specsavers. And we're talking about in line with Traders Health Month. Here we are, August, the month of August, regional red tradies urged to prioritise eye health with reduced access to urgent care. So, look, we need to, all our people out there need to be careful in regard to our eyesight, looking after it, and don't be lackadaisy just using your sunglasses. Get the protective eye glasses that you do need to do your JOB. That's what it's all about. And like I said, it's no good going to court and winning the court case, but you're still blind. So let's be cautious in that space. Have you saying Jan Upstrong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. Jan with the Bally Run, BBM 98.7 FM. The Bally Run is Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, Jan Upstrong. And have your say, you mob. And also want to give a big shout out to Gary Port, who met at the wedding of Brucey Gibson, the mayor of Herbvale, last weekend. And Gary's a big listener for National Talk Black. So, yeah, the tractor's on, turned off while listening, brother. Finish the yarn and listen to the yarn and then get back on the track and do your thing, my brother. The J-O-B, too deadly. Have your say, yarn up song, National Talk Black.
Looking for that blue or yellow tail mullet.
said, now you better move on. I said, you better watch out. You better move on before you come. He's my ear tonight.
Hi, I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Foster and Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootshopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wuchopperen on 40801080 to learn more.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you Deadly Mob. Welcome back to your Deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your Deadly program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the country thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying Yan up strong, you mob, too deadly. Now, no relief in sight amid prolonged cost of living crisis. New research reveals insights into the widespread impact
So, look, we've got Australians out there, black and white, struggling in more ways than one. And the fact that we're talking about this now, which is the National Homelessness Week, and that's the 5th and 11th of August, so a very important conversation to be had. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Sonia Tufnell, Senior Fundraising Manager at Orange Sky. We have Sonia online. Sonia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Lovely to speak to you.
Thank you very much. Where are you based, Sonia?
We're based in Mianjin, land of the Turrbal and Yagara people down in Brisbane.
All right, fantastic. Beautiful, beautiful footprint. Big shout out there to the mob. Thank you very much. So, look, you're the Senior Fundraising Manager at Orange Sky. Just give a bit of background. Who's Orange Sky?
Orange Sky is a mobile laundry and shower service. We are across Australia, and we provide free laundry and showers for anyone who needs us, but particularly those experiencing homelessness or hardship. We were founded almost 10 years ago now, but we just keep expanding because the need is getting greater and greater.
Yeah, look, it's a fantastic concept. Started with two boys, thought they'd get in a van and just go and with a wash machine and dry and just help homeless people in regarding cleaning their clothes. And now it's, 10 years operating and it operates across the country, yes?
Yeah, across the country. And, you know, most importantly for us, we have 14 remote services. Mm-hmm. And that is in remote communities, remote Indigenous communities.
Yes.
But we also support First Nations people across metro and regional. It's very important for us to be there for the mob.
Look, a fantastic vehicle, Partner Punt, and the work that you guys do there. But we've got Australians in a cost of living crisis, struggling in regarding to make ends meet. And then we go homelessness. That's will create more people to be in that situation. So a lot of work needs to be done, and percentages are high, aren't they? Especially with First Nation, Sonia.
Absolutely, absolutely. Some research we did shows that, you know, one quarter of First Nations Australians have to choose between essential items such as food or rent, and you know, sometimes washing clothes and or laundry just has to be put by the wayside. I was chatting to a lovely lady in Cairns, and she's got a couple of kids, six kids. And, you know, her most important thing is having clean uniforms for her kids, but going to the laundromat is really expensive. Mm. So, you know, Orange Sky is just able to help her out, and that's what we're here for.
Fantastic. And like I said, the percentage between non-Indigenous and Indigenous, there's a gap there, isn't there? So we're talking about closing gaps. Here's another gap, you could say.
Yeah, absolutely. We know that First Nations Australians experiencing homelessness at triple the rate of non-Indigenous Australians, which is just it's not right, and that's the gap we need to close.
Yeah, it's sad when we talk about Australia being a first world country and you've got a lot of our people living in third world standards. That's not good in the 21st century, is it?
No, definitely not. And that's one of the reasons Orange Sky works in remote communities, because we know the difficulty of accessing washing machines and things like that. And if they break, it's impossible to get them fixed when you're living a long way away from the washing machine repairman.
Yes.
So we work in partnership with local Indigenous organisations and employ local people, and they run the vans out there. So, it's a fabulous service, and Orange Sky is really proud to be part of it.
Yeah, fantastic. So we know you do a lot of work in Cairns, and I know that you did some work over at Yarrabah as well, and we were over there doing the outdoor broadcast by Mabripa Media, and we had a yarn with some of your team there. How does Orange Sky work in regarding rostering? Do communities can call you, or do you have a roster where you go out and visit the different communities, and how often do you do it?
Yeah, excellent question, Trevor. So in urban and rural locations, so like in Mianjin or Cairns, we operate on a roster of volunteers, and they are fantastic people. We have about 3,000 volunteers all across Australia.
And hats off to all volunteers. Hats off to volunteers, yes.
They're amazing. They're amazing. And they get out there week in, week out, and sometimes they meet the same people, and so they make a real connection. And it's always about sitting down and having a yarn, you know, connecting with our friends. And, so that's the way we operate in the rural or urban places. But in remote communities, it's a paid engagement there, because, you know, we can't ask people to volunteer their time. So, so that's how we operate.
Fantastic. And how long have you been senior fundraiser manager at Tyrone Sky?
Sounds like a fancy title, doesn't it? I've been here just over 2 years.
Over 2 years. Enjoying that journey, Sonia, yeah?
Oh, I love it. I love everything we do here at Orange Sky. It helps me get up bright and bubbly every morning. I think it's a great organisation.
Well, they say the best exercise for your heart is when you're bending down, lifting somebody up, and Orange Sky does that. So thank you so very much.
Oh, that's a beautiful, beautiful statement, Trevor. Thank you.
Sonia, we'll talk soon. All the best, and big shout out to your team, and keep doing what you're doing, Sonia.
Thanks for having me on. See ya.
Bye-bye. A deadly yarn, beautiful yarn with Sonia Tufnell, her name is, Senior Fundraising Manager at Orange Sky, and the work they're doing regarding free mobile laundry and shower service. So, look, a fantastic company that does that, and big shout out to volunteers across this country in support. They said they've got 3,000 volunteers, so that's fantastic. But to volunteers across this country and all industries, look, it moves the country. So fantastic to all volunteers and work that you all do in the spaces that you do. So fantastic. It is National Homeless Week, and big shout out to mob there who support our people who are homelessness and who are struggling in life. And like I said, it is the 21st century, and this shouldn't be happening, especially in a first world country. And it is a team effort, and that is the week of 5th to the 11th of August. But in actual fact, 365 days a year. Let's look after all Australians. Have you saying Yana Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, and Yana with the bully one here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM, Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service, Too Deadly.
This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.